The scoreboard said I lost today, but what the scoreboard doesn't say is what it is I have found.
Hello and welcome back to the Tennis Connected Studios in New York City. I'm Nima Naderi alongside Parsa Sammy, and we're here this week to preview the 2016 U.S. Open. This week's podcast is brought to you by Grand Slam Tennis Tours. For anybody in the New York area or looking for tickets or packages, make sure to hit them up on GrandSlamTennisTours.com. Before we begin this week's show, let's introduce our co-host this week. Parsa, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
Doing really good. Been in New York now since Wednesday in the Central Park area doing some media events and such. And then I'll be heading down to your neck of the woods tomorrow and getting ready for main draw on Monday, which I'm really looking forward to. Other than that, super, super great city as always, New York. Very hot. Wasn't as humid, I found, yesterday, but very warm. Very, very warm. And I'm hoping that the heat tapers off a little bit as the tournament progresses, just for viewing purposes overall. That might be personal preference too. But I looked at the forecast. It looks pretty toasty up until the weekend. Then the weekend, Labor Day weekend, looks like it's going to be beautiful conditions and, you know, very mild and pleasant, but still warm and sunny. So looking forward to that.
How ironic, almost no rain.
Yeah. And I knew that was going to happen, Parsley. You know, when they put out that press release and, you know, on Twitter, the U.S. Open account was like, you know, this is what's going to be happening for the U.S. Open and, you know, our new roof and grandstand and all this. And I said, and now look, there'll be no rain the whole tournament. And that's probably what's going to happen. It's going to be. But anyways, that's the way it goes. And still, it's still good to have that there. And I'm really looking forward to seeing the new advancements. I might actually get sneak down there today and check out what's happening. So we'll see how it goes. Otherwise, I was at a Serena event last night at Nike Town here. She looked in good spirits, and she's hopefully going for her 23rd career major. The night before, I was at another Nike event with Kyrgios and Jack Sock and Madison Keys, you know, the more up-and-coming players for Nike Court, and, you know, they were looked in good spirits too. So it looked like everybody's really enjoying themselves, and how can you not in New York? And, you know, just hoping for a great tournament, and as we develop and preview the draws, you know, we hope that, you know, goes, you know, true to form, and we have the right picks as we usually do. So Parsa, I mean, you know, we're landed in a situation where, you know, the draws are obviously very, you know, complex here. There's 128 women and men. You know, let's start with the women's. So it's led by Serena Williams, and she's going for her 23rd major, coming off of the Wimbledon title, but hasn't really done much since then. To be honest, she skipped pretty much. You know, she didn't play in Canada. She didn't play in Cincy. Played the Olympics. Had a pretty poor result there, for her standards for sure. And then, you know, she's been struggling with some shoulder issues. So, is she still the class player in the field? Is she still the most athletic player in the field? That goes without saying, that she's, you know, the legend of the game and the sport and sport in general. But, you know, who knows what her actual injury is, because she always keeps that pretty secretive, I would say. But her draw is, I would say, is pretty good. I mean, she starts off with Makarova to maybe play Vanya King. And then from that standpoint, going a little bit further, Ivanovic, I don't think will pose that many problems for her. That's even saying that Ivanovic gets there. And then, you know, Samantha Stosur could be tricky, considering her history at this event, you know, former champion. But it's the same song and dance, right, Parsa? I mean, if Serena is Serena and she's at full capacity, you know, she goes through. Can upsets occur? Obviously, but you got to go with her to at least make, you know, the quarters here. Halep could be a test. I think that could be definitely a nice match. But again, I mean, you know, if Serena's on top of her form, I think she gets through that match in three sets, and I'm going to have to take her to definitely get to the semifinals. What's your call on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to tell, right? Because you know a healthy Serena is for sure in the semis.
Yes.
But we can't tell what her health issues are. I mean, we know it's a shoulder or arm problem. We know that aging is finally catching up to her.
Yes.
And this is the beginning of it. So we're going to have a lot of these questions, you know, in the coming year or two with her. And we don't really know what to expect, right? So it's a major challenge. But based on what she's done in her history and being her home slam, you know, even though that Makarova matchup is sort of scary initially right off the bat, you know, she's going to have to be able to defend there and to be able to play her entire game. But after that, it starts to ease up a little bit, believe it or not, as she goes through the rounds.
Yes.
And, you know, I have a hard time because I don't know any better. I have to have her in my semi.
Yes, and I'm in this exact same boat. Moving on to the second quarter, it's led by Radwanska and then her sister Venus Williams. So for me, it's going to be interesting to see how Venus bounces back here too, because again, hasn't really done much since you know, Wimbledon, making I believe the semifinals there, right? And yep. So now she's, you know, she's coming in here, her home slam, you know, 36, 37 years old, still, you know, looking fit and in good shape. So it would be interesting, you know, but we know she has a Sjogren's disease and that fatigue could hit her at any moment. So it's a tough one. I mean, Radwanska to me is playing well. I think she's in the finals of New Haven, which is taking place today. She smoked past Kvitova yesterday. I think it was like 1-1 or something. So she's coming in with some decent form. And she plays really well on hard courts. Her draw looks very workable, starting off with a qualifier. Brody from Great Britain, potentially in round two for Radwanska. Bouchard is there. Again, I think maybe Jeannie gets through her first match, but I mean, I don't know if she goes by Caroline Garcia in round two. And then as we go forward there for Radwanska, I mean, Baczynski is a player for sure. I don't know, you know, if that's going to be too much of an issue for her. And then I think, you know, for me, the talk of this section is really Venus. I mean, what can she do? And can she, you know, set up a semifinal clash with her sister? I would say no. But that doesn't mean that it can't happen, obviously. So I don't know. I mean, for me, I think, Parsa, with everything that I'm seeing in this section, and there's some good players, you know, some good matchups, I'm still gonna have to go with Radwanska to make the final four. What's your take on it?
I mean, what a challenge! Radwanska is the class player in the section.
Yes.
You know, I have a question because you're close to the Canadians. I mean, what's happening with Bouchard? Did you watch her in Cincinnati?
Yeah, she's been playing okay. I mean, look. 2014 was incredible, 2015 was forgettable, and now 2016 is going to look good because of what happened in 2015, right? So
did you see her meltdown, though, with Saviano and everything on the court, and she was just like, I can't play, and they did, you know, they have the coaching?
Yeah, yeah, it's, there's a lot.
She totally lost her mind. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, with Bouchard, it's coming down to resilience at this point. Like, how resilient can she be? Now she's in a stage where she had that amazing breakout season, and it's not about hard work. She obviously has put in hard work as a junior to get there. She makes finals of Wimbledon, semis of a couple other majors. Wow, you know, this is the next player. Gets this huge fat contract with, you know, multiple different sponsors, and then she falls off the face of the earth the next year. And now she's trying to rebuild, and it's that resilience. You know, she's come back to the US Open. You know, that lawsuit is still pending. You know, the U.S. Open has even come out and said that, you know, irrespective of that, that's not going to affect how we treat her. Obviously, that's the politically correct thing to say. And I believe the U.S. Open. I don't think anybody's going to treat her in any way. I mean, this is business is business, right? We get that sorted out at some point. But still, I mean, she has to come back with that on her shoulders, on top of not being in the greatest form. She's an unseeded player, you know, with huge marketing behind her. I mean, absolutely massive. We're talking about millions of dollars of marketing behind her, but, you know, she's still pretty much unknown in terms of, not unknown, but, you know, unmerited, especially for this year. And I have no idea. I mean, I would say definitely that she could lose first, second round. I think she gets by her first round opponent, but I would definitely think that, you know, I would be, if she makes fourth round, that's like a good result for her at this stage. I'm not putting a lot of stock in that for sure.
Yeah, and I have a hard time, you know, not picking Radwanska, again, the class player in the section.
Yes.
It's really hard to tell. I mean, there's two players that do interest me, Nima.
Yes.
I think that we could have a breakout with a player like Nicole Gibbs, who's had a successful summer in world team tennis, and I think she's putting a little bit together.
Yes.
You know, possibly she could put, she's a two-time NCAA champion. Possibly maybe she's ready to make a little bit of a sort of a deep run and get into a round of 16 or a quarterfinal or a third round match with Venus. Has got some good potential. How Venus responds is also very interesting. I do think it'll be her and Radwanska in the round of 16. In the quarterfinal. And I'm going to have Radwanska going through.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. But I like Gibbs. I think she works hard and she has a lot of passion for the sport. And she's a really good ambassador as well for women's tennis. So I don't think there's, I mean, I wish her all the best, and let's see how it unfolds for her. Moving now to the third quarter, it's led by, what do we have here? We have Madison Keys and Muguruza. I really like Madison Keys' draw. I think, you know, she gets through Alison Risk. I think, you know, everybody should be looking out for Maria Sakkari, Greek player. Very exciting player, super athletic, great kick serve, kind of in the mold of maybe a young Sam Stosur. A lot of fire out there for the game. So that's probably one of the, you know, my favorite WTA players at this point to follow. So make sure to keep an eye out for her. Naomi Osaka from Japan is another up-and-comer. She's got Coco Vandeweghe first match. I picked that as one of my top first-round women's matches. So watch out for that one, Parsa. But with all of that said, I like Keys to get through to at least the fourth round here. And from that point on, you know, Konta is here. You know, you've had some good words for her lately. So she's playing against wildcard Matic Sands right off the bat. So that's going to be a good one too. And then we'll see. I mean, does Bencic get past Samantha Crawford? I have a kind of an upset alert on that one. I think Crawford could get through that, especially because Bencic is not at full, you know, full capacity right now, full fitness. And Crawford, I mean, massive hitter of the ball. She's playing in her home country. So I think she's got a good chance of an upset there. And that's it. And I think that, you know, Muguruza should get through. And again, she's, you know, a reigning Grand Slam winner at the French. So she's got added pressure on her now every slam that she plays. But she is number three in the world. So she's doing something more than right. So I'm probably going to go with, I don't know. I think I'm going with Keys in the quarters. But how about Monica Puig? I mean, let's talk about her. Gold medal winner. Can she follow that up? It's going to be a lot of media coverage on her. Huge. And does she get through? I don't know. I mean, you know, you got to look at somebody like maybe, you know, Svetlana Kuznetsova. She does well at these events, and she's won a couple majors. She's won this tournament in the past, even though it was a long time ago. But is Keys ready, Parsa, in your mind, to make the semis of a major? Like, can she do it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
This is it. This is going to be her breakthrough, I think.
Yeah.
Nima, I don't know. There are some weaknesses, but she has some serious strengths too. And so, you know, it'd be interesting to see what her 2 weeks unfolds like, because I think this has got an opportunity written all over it. I think this is a wide open women's draw because you don't know what Serena's like. You know that Radwanska is beatable. You know Halep is beatable. You know Muguruza is not in form. So there's room for a star to grow.
Yes.
And what a better stage for an American than the U.S. Open. So I think this is, you know, you're not going to get many opportunities, Madison, in your life to make a real household name for yourself, and this is one right in front of her right now.
Yeah, especially in New York. I mean, where else as an American? I mean, this has got to be the pinnacle of everybody's, you know, what they want to do and where they want to achieve it. No question about it. So for me, I'm going to go with Keys to make the semifinals, just based on her form. And I just think she's in the right mindset. And I saw her at that Kith event on Broadway, and you know, she looked in really good spirits, and she's top 10 now. So it's time to keep going up from there. Now, for me, it's going to be interesting to see how Kerber, you know, going into the fourth quarter here, Kerber has been putting together, you know, some really good professional results back to back to back. So, you know, she's got to be sore. She's got to be, you know, she's like probably looking forward to the offseason, getting a couple months off to rest and relax. But there's still a huge task at hand, and that's the U.S. Open. So for her, draw, I would say, looks pretty good. I mean, you know, when you have Sarah Arani, who's not going to, you know, has no power to do much against you, has a 27th seed in the third round, she's going to, I think, get through that very comfortably. And then Kvitova could be tough. I don't know. I mean, Kvitova is a wild card for me because she's, you know, won majors, hasn't done much really outside of Wimbledon. Let's be honest about that too. She really likes the really fast surfaces. U.S. Open is fast. It's probably very, very fast, but not as fast as Wimbledon. Maybe actually, I don't know about that. I mean, sometimes U.S. Open is faster than Wimbledon, but I just think that the skid of the court is not the same.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
For these big-time players, how do you think the roof is going to change?
Well, there you go. Yeah, so that's a great question. Because if you have Kerber and Kvitova in Arthur Ashe Stadium under the roof, then maybe Kvitova wins that match for sure. But
the wind also supposedly it cuts the swirling winds down of New York's famous.
Yeah, so then there's that aspect of it too. So I don't know. I mean, it's tough. You know, we look at it, you know, everything is not a given. And I mean, Kerber is not Serena Williams by any means. So you can't always pencil her in into the latter stages of these tournaments, even though she's already made two Grand Slam finals this year, winning one. So can
she's been consistent.
Yeah, can she make a third, right? That's a tough one for me. And I really got to give that some thought because I don't think she can, even though she's the number two seed. So you got to watch out for that. But if you look at her quarter here to make the semifinals, she's got Vinci, who, yeah, she made the finals here last year. I would be shocked if she replicates that. I mean, if she makes the fourth round, I think that's a good result for her. I think she's pretty much done at the end of this year. We've got Sabine Lisicki, who has been pretty much under the radar now for a while since she made the Wimbledon finals. I mean, massive game, huge serve, but hasn't really done much. And then you have Sivakova, who's could do some damage here, make the fourth round, has very, you know, energetic, great game for hard courts. But with all of that in mind, it's going to be for me Kerber or Kvitova that gets through this. I think maybe my third player would be actually Elena Svitolina, who upset Serena at the Olympic Games. She's got a nice game for hard courts too. Tough. I mean, I want to go with Kvitova because I think it's time for her to do something, especially at a major. I just really don't know if, you know, she's there. And she's been complaining about some mono symptoms throughout the year, so I don't know if she's at full capacity in her fitness, even though it's not at zero. It's pretty high up. I just don't know if it's at close to 90 or 100%. And Kerber is definitely at full steam. So it's tough for me, Parsa, but I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to go with Kvitova to make the semis.
I like it.
Yeah.
That's a nice pick.
Yeah.
You know, it is a tough section. Not that any of those sections are easier to sort of figure out who's going to go through and why they're going to go through. But I'm going to go with logic this U.S. Open, Nima. Let's see how logic turns out for me. But I'm going to go, because she's been so consistent this year, I'm going to go with Kerber to get to the semi.
Okay.
I think we're going to have a blockbuster semi there with Keys and her.
Yeah, that would
I think it's going to be like fireworks, like incredible. Like,
yeah, that's going to be good.
Maybe one for the ages.
Yeah, that could be a good one.
What are you going through?
Yeah, let's start with the bottom half. I mean, it would be awesome to see Madison Keys, you know, in the finals of the U.S. Open for many, many different levels. But is she ready to take out somebody like Kerber potentially? And that's a tough one. Kerber's obviously much more seasoned, and she's got a couple more notches in her belt, even in her game. She's got the angle. She's got the lefty factor. She can really move Keys around and diffuse that power that she possesses. And there's no doubt for me that Kerber is one of the best movers in the sport now. And Keys potentially is not that great of a mover. She can hit the ball a ton, but I think if you can get her into a defensive position and really change the geometry of the court, especially, you know, it's not, you know, back and forth on the baseline, and you're using more angles, you know, pulling her out wide into the service boxes, I really think she would struggle. And but I don't even have her at that position. I have Kvitova there. And if it's Kvitova and Keys, then for me, I think that I think, you know, Keys has a little bit of a better chance. And then I would probably take her to make the finals. And then for me up top, I would have Serena over Radwanska, and I would have Keys and Serena in the finals. And I would have Serena get through that 7-5, 6-4 to win the tournament. That's what I'm going with.
Very good. And I have a blockbuster Kerber Keys semi, and I think it's going to be an amazing match if that's the way it unfolds. And if that's the case, though, I think I like Kerber in that matchup, believe it or not. I think she possesses just enough to push Keys and redirect her power around the court and make her move more than she wants to laterally. I'm going to have Kerber advancing to the final there. And then in the top, the Serena Radwanska, I'm going to have Serena going through for many reasons. But I'm not so sure about Serena. And so this comes to my final. I think if it is a Serena Kerber final, I think Serena wins the tournament. But I think if it's Kerber against anybody, I think Kerber wins. And I think she becomes the undisputed number one player in the world. And so I think there's a lot on the line, and I can't wait to talk to you about it. You know, from my house, we're going to do it together next weekend. The podcast, we're going to be together in the same room, and it's going to be awesome to kind of see where we're at in the middle week. But so I'm going to have Serena Williams winning the 2016 U.S. Open. But if she's not there, my second one's going with Kerber.
Yeah,
the dark horse, Nima.
Yeah, that's actually what I was going to ask you. And before we get to the dark horses, another interesting, you know, development there is the number one ranking. I mean, you would have to say definitely if Kerber wins a tournament, she's for sure number one. But then if Serena wins, then she's for sure number one, because she will have, you know, made all four Grand Slam finals, winning two of the four. So, I mean, that's, for me, that's an incredible result. Dark horse, I think I like Crawford, to be honest with you. I think she showed me something at the beginning of the year. She's been pretty quiet since then. But if she can get on a bit of a roll here, I think she's going to captivate the audience and, you know, really get everybody behind her. And, you know, that's going to be a nice story to follow. So I'm going to go with...
I want two dark horses. So I want that dark horse, because she's not going to win anymore.
No.
Right? But what's your one dark horse to win? Let's say outside the top, outside of Keys, outside the top 10.
Well, I would even go maybe a little bit deeper than that and go... I think I would go maybe with Lisicki. I mean, Lisicki's, you know, been in the finals of a major before. She's got a great game. I mean, she's very serious. She's got huge serve, you know, nice groundy. She's got that lefty factor. There's really no reason why she shouldn't be ranked higher than she is. I mean, you look at her, you look at a player like Caroline Wozniacki, and, I mean, she's, you know, off the grid right now, too. She's unseeded. She's coming in, you know, plays a qualifier in her first match, but you can't really look at her as a bona fide threat here, to be honest. But when I look at Lisicki with the weapons that she has, she should be doing much better. And, you know, for that reason, I would go for her. How about yourself?
Yeah, so the one that I think could make some noise is Puig again. I think that she's going to find some sort of form, and she could go very, very, very far. You know, and I think that could be, you know, a story in itself, and just quite incredible. And the other player the one that I'm sort of looking at is Pliskova. I think that, you know, this girl, she's been banging balls and she's been the one dictating. And if the courts are the right speed and there is a lack of wind and things work out for her, she's the player that could be so informed that can blow you off the court and no one knows about her. So I think that's who I would take my dark horse to potentially win. Although Pui can obviously win too, but I just think 7 matches over 2 weeks is too long of a time frame for her to play at that level required. You know, I think it's a different thing winning an Olympics in a week-long tournament versus winning the U.S. Open in a two-week or any sort of Grand Slam in a two-week span. I think it's different. You have to be on fire for a very long time. So that's what I've got.
Yeah, and I think at that point, you have to just fool yourself into believing that it's the Olympics. And if you can do that, then somehow you get through and you can win the tournament. So we'll see how it goes for Monica and the rest of the field. Okay, Parsa, let's shift gears now to the men's draw, which is led by Novak Djokovic. Comes in maybe not in the best form that he would like either, let's be honest, right? He won Toronto, which I was there for. Didn't play Cincy, and he lost first round of the Olympic Games to Del Potro, you know, one of his good buddies. I saw them hugging out there at the U.S. Open, which was a nice shot there. So it's going to be interesting. Let's see how Djokovic rebounds. I mean, he really hasn't played in a while. He hasn't played in 2-3 weeks, and he lost early in Rio, lost early in the doubles. So he's been just resting. He's been nursing that left wrist. So we'll see how that affects his potent, you know, best two-handed backhand in the world for sure. He starts off against Janovic, who is obviously a head case, who hasn't been around for a while. He's ranked, I think, 228 in the world now, and bizarre guy, super talented. He was up to about 13 in the world a couple of years ago and just fell off the face of the earth. He's been at home playing video games. He's been injured. I don't know what he's been doing, but I know the Polish media has been all over him and very disappointed in his demeanor and everything that he stands for currently. But with that said, still, I think, a dangerous guy. I mean, in terms of his firepower, Djokovic is going to break him down, no question, and he'll get through that. Another, you know, second-round match for me against Vesely from Czech Republic could be interesting. As we know, he defeated Novak in Monte Carlo earlier this year on the clay for the biggest win of his career. So, again, another big hitter. So, not a lot of long points, I think, for Novak as he goes through the draw. He could have Clizon in the third round, who won Rotterdam earlier this year, and I think, you know, as well as another tournament. He's playing well, big lefty hitter from the Slovak. He's had some decent results at the U.S. Open in his past. But do you see any potential, you know, landmines for Novak, for Djokovic as he goes through here? I mean, can we really see him losing that early? He lost to Querrey, let's not forget, at Wimbledon. He was a little bit jaded there coming in from the French. He's going to be fresher here, but if that left wrist is not at 100%, I really don't see him winning this tournament. So it's a tough, it's not a gimme for me. I mean, I think we have Cilic, who's coming off of the Cincy title. You got Tsonga, who's had some decent results here. Gasquet, I don't think is going to do much. Maybe Carl Edmund even takes him out in the first round. It didn't look good to me at all. And since Gasquet's been injured and then lost pretty early, not early, but he didn't do well in Winston-Salem, which was pretty water downfield. If you think that he would want to probably try to win that tournament, which he couldn't do. That TFO-Isner match is going to be a nice one. Not sure if they're going to put that on Arthur Ashe, but for sure it's going to be an Armstrong or a grandstand, the new grandstand. So what are your thoughts, Parsa? What do you think in this section? I'm going to have to go with Djokovic to make the semis, but it wouldn't surprise me if he didn't get there, just based on current form.
And who does it open up for?
Yeah.
Can you name me who's at the bottom of that section? Again. Unbelievable.
Yeah, Raonic.
Forget Raonic. Yeah. Not yeah. Raonic. Yeah. No way.
Cilic. You mean Cilic. Yeah.
Cilic again.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, if Djokovic can't get through, which there is that chance, as you named eloquently said, exactly what the landmines in his draw, and but a lot based on himself and his wrist. this thing opens up for Cilic again. It's incredible. He is certainly in form, and he's certainly playing his best tennis again. At the end of the summer, the North American or the Northern Hemisphere summer, the guy's just on fire again. And
I think he rolls through his first two matches, no problem. Jack Sock, potentially, if he can get by Fritz, which I think he will. I just think the moment will be too much for Taylor against his countrymen. And Sock is obviously a much better player at this point. That would be nice to see. But again, I think Cilic, I don't know. I mean, Sock has a much better forehand than Cilic. Cilic has a much better backhand. They both serve massive. But I mean, you know, Sock has nowhere near the experience that Marin has. And, you know, Marin's just going to put his head down and he's just going to try to plow through this draw. And all of a sudden he's going to be in the quarterfinals. You know what I mean? And then
he's got Song in there. Song is dangerous.
He is especially in majors. And they actually, I saw that match last year. I was there. I had a pretty good seat, to watch that. I believe it was a quarterfinal again. Cilic won that in five sets. That was a good match. But, who knows? I still think that Nole gets through. But if not, then you got to definitely go with Cilic as your number two pick in that section.
Yeah, and I do have Nole going through. I think I'll preview a little bit, but I think he's the man to beat still, regardless.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough to bet against that. But again, I think that, you know, as mentally strong as he is, winning that French Open had to have, you know, really taken a lot off of his chest. And he's kind of like in that gravy thing now, where everything else is gravy, even though I know he's chasing Federer and Nadal's Grand Slam totals. But again, he's a human being. And you're going to have a letdown. You're going to be like, I worked so hard finally to complete the, you know, the Grand Slam collection, which is such a tough feat to do in its own right. So we'll see. We'll see how it transpires for him, but he's definitely still the favorite to win his tournament. So going now to quarter number two, it's led by Rafa Nadal, comes in as the fourth seed with the absence of Roger Federer. Still nice parts. I want to give a shout out to RF, because even with his injury, he's still down here in New York. He's still doing all of his media responsibilities with Nike and with Wilson and, you know, his champagne company and Moët Chandon and everything that he's been doing. So it's great to see. And you've seen that in the past with other top players. I'm not going to name any names, but when they've been injured, they don't come just to do these things. So it's great to see Federer still kind of involved with the tournament and still around somehow, even though he's not playing, which is not great at all. But now looking at this, the second quarter, Rafa, for me, has a pretty good draw to work with. I think he gets through Instamin and then Robert or Seppi. And then from there, Ramos Vinolas, again, lefty, is going to be his toughest challenge going, you know, the first toughest challenge that he has for Nadal. But again, I don't think he has got enough to get through him. And then Batista Agut, super professional guy. He's going to be tough, but I still think, again, he doesn't have enough firepower to defeat Nadal. He's solid enough. And I really don't see there's any reason why Nadal, he's got, for me, an excellent, you know, opportunity to at least make the quarterfinals here. Doesn't really have too many guys who have the belief, I think, to defeat him. It just depends on how that wrist holds up. And I think it's doing pretty good. He played a ton of tennis in Rio and played a couple matches in Cincy. Obviously had an awful result against Chorich. I just think he had nothing left. But looks like he's going to be fit physically anyways, except for his wrist, and ready to go here. And then you got to look at, you know, Milos. Tough match against Dustin Brown to start. But I think if he gets through him, then it's cruising to the fourth round. Monfils is going to be very, very tough if Monfils gets there. And that, for me, is a toss-up match, believe it or not. Monfils defeated him, Raonic, in Toronto. It was a really fun match, actually. Probably one of the best of the tournament. And that, to me, could go either way. That could be easily five sets, Parsa. What's your analysis on that potential encounter between Raonic and Monfils, if that takes place?
It's the kryptonite for Raonic in that matchup. In a best of five, in the way that Monfils, if his head's screwed on straight, can neutralize his power and push him around the court, I think could be a lot of danger for Raonic. And, you know, that's assuming he gets there. You know, Mannarino is going to be tough if Mannarino gets there.
Mm-hmm.
In the second round there, he's going to be moving the ball around. He's lefty. It's going to be a challenge. He's going to have to blow right through him, and who knows if that's going to be there. I think there's some interesting things going on in this section. I think that Monfils is the guy that goes through that match, and I think he's going to play. I'm not so high on Nadal, Nima, to be honest with you. That's my trick, and I think this top section with him is kind of wide open. That's the trick right there. But it's hard, right? It's hard to, you're right. I mean, the belief for anyone to beat Nadal, although he can lose to Istomin. Istomin is the kind of guy that will just come at you. Can a Bellucci make a run? I don't know. I mean, maybe Pui. Tough, Nima, right?
Tough.
I mean, it's really just challenging. I mean, because Nadal's in a beautiful section for him. I'm going to have a go with a Nadal and Monfils quarter.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that as well, but I'm going to go with Monfils taking out Rafa. And I think that based on his professionalism, I never thought you would link professionalism and Monfils in the same sentence, but definitely he's shown me that he's got that now. The good to great guys have done a very good job with him. And I think that you're going to see Monfils in the semis here. And let's not forget, man, he was almost in a position to take out Federer a couple of years ago. He had five match points against him. But Federer came back and he won that match and then lost to Cilic in the semis, which was not, I mean, we talked about that. Like, you know, Federer needed to win that tournament to play who, Nishikori in the finals, right? So, I mean, it's like, how much better could it be for him at that stage? But that didn't take place. So I'm going to definitely go with Monfils to face Djokovic in the top half here in the semifinals.
And I'm going to have our guy go through. I don't know why I'm picking it. It's like kind of, I'm throwing it away, but I'm going to have Nadal upending Monfils in five epic sets. Just incredible stuff. Night session. Just amazing, amazing match. I think Nadal will step up, and that will unfortunately be his highlights, which is a precursor to my semifinal match, but that will be his highlight of the 2016 Open.
Yeah, I think
I'm right. You know where I'm going, huh?
Yeah. So now going on to the third quarter, it's led by, we got Dominic Thiem lurking here as well as Stan Wawrinka. Let's start with Wawrinka because he's got, you know, Verdasco's not the type of guy anymore. He's going to be the top 10 player or whatever, but you can see that he's been there. And this is a really tough quarter here, Parsa. A lot of guys could do some damage here. You know, we got Dominic Thiem. We got Querrey, who's coming off of that good Wimbledon result. We got Steve Johnson, who's playing some great tennis. We got Del Potro. I mean, wow. You know, how good is he feeling right now in terms of his confidence level? Then you got Ferrer, for me, not so hot. Then you got Kyrgios, who's could do some damage here, at least make the fourth round. You know, you have Tomic, who's another dangerous guy. Zverev, who hasn't been playing that well lately. So I think you should watch out for that. But he's got a qualifier in his first match, so he could, you know, potentially get through there. And then you have, you know, Verdasco versus Wawrinka, was probably going to be a night session. That's going to be Arthur Ashe, I would think, anyways. And then we'll see how that goes down. But can Verdasco beat Stan, you think, first round? Is that even possible?
No.
Because I think...
I just don't see it.
Yeah.
You know, I think it could be a good match. I think it could be a real fun one and could go five sets, but I think Stan finds his way through that.
And let's say, and I think he would pretty much get through Kudla no problem in the next round from there. If he plays against Alex Zverev in the third round, how do you see that potential match going for Stan? I think that could be a good one. Could be maybe four or five sets. Experience again. See, Wawrinka's a tough guy. You know, Parsa, at the beginning of this year, I've said this before, I took actually Stan to win this tournament. I had a feeling that he would peak at this time of the year. And yeah, so let's look at what he's done so far. He made the semis in Toronto. Should have beaten Nishikori. He did it. Then he goes into Cincy, didn't really do much, lost his second round match. But for Stan is the type of guy, he doesn't really need to win that much to make a deep run in a major. He's got the type of game and the firepower now that he's won a couple majors himself. He's got that confidence and that experience level that I think he thinks he can do it. I think he thinks he can do it. And since he hasn't won this tournament, I think he's going to have some extra hunger for that. I think he's not going to be the guy who's going to win, you know, a lot of Grand Slams more than he has right now. But I could see him potentially, you know, winning four. And to do that, I think U.S. Open is one that he could definitely win. I think it suits his game because he hits the ball huge. I think Wimbledon probably would be his worst surface. I don't see him winning that one. But I think Stan, for me, he gets through even Zverev. Kyrgios is going to be a tough one. I think that if Kyrgios is playing well, you know, again, depends on who shows up there. But that could be, I mean, could be some really cool matches in this. I mean, Verdasco, just based on, you know, writing them down on paper, you got Verdasco potentially, not potentially, but definitely playing against Stan. Then we have maybe Stan versus Zverev. Then we have Stan versus Kyrgios. And then maybe we have, you know, Stan versus Del Potro in the quarterfinals. So I think the next guy we should definitely move on to is, you know, first of all, what are your overall prospects on Wawrinka before we get to Del Potro here?
I mean, he's the informant. He's the guy, right? He's the class player, the guy that is the consistent, logical choice. And then you've got a lot of firepower in here. Just between Del Potro, Steve Johnson, Kyrgios, you know, Dominic Thiem, who as you said, isn't necessarily informed, but you know he's a class player. You know, you got a guy like Tiptarevich who's going to try to make a bit of a comeback and get his ranking points up. Query, who's been playing very, very solid, is the right word. You know, so you got a nice, interesting section here with Fognini as well, who could be entertaining at any moment. You know, but with Stan, he's the elite guy in the group, Nima.
Yes.
And, I definitely have him, and I believe it's going to be Del Potro in the quarterfinal there.
Yeah, and that would be, I mean, what a fan favorite Del Potro is. You know what I'm saying? It's just the guy's off, just like off the charts, really exciting guy to watch, and I just think that you're going to see him do some damage here. I just hope he holds up. And I think that he wants to. You know what I mean? He definitely. And but it's a tough. This, for me, is the toughest quarter. And I think that I want to see. I would love to see Delpo go through to the semifinals. I don't think he's there yet. You know, maybe next year. I don't know. I'm gonna stick with. Even though I think Stan's going to have some tough matches here, I think he goes through and makes the semifinals.
Wow.
You think you think if it's Delpo and Wawrinka in the quarters, you think Del Potro beats him?
I think at that point, if Delpo's there, I think he's the informed guy.
But is the backhand there, Parsa? Is the because
I don't
we
care.
Know? Yeah. Serve is there.
I don't care because so my one issue with Stan on such a quick court is that as much power as he has, he equally can't defend. He needs the pace of the court to be slightly slower, or let's say play a night session where the conditions are heavier. But I actually think Del Potro is the real number three player in the world and not Wawrinka.
Yeah.
And so therefore, I think that matchup, regardless of backends or not, if he gets to that point, I think Del Potro is the guy that's going to go through. I think it's going to be another blockbuster. And this is why I started off in this podcast this time saying the second week looks like it's going to be incredible, because I think things are logically going to go through. And I think our informed guys are going to go through. And I think it's going to be Del Potro, Wawrinka quarterfinal. I think it's going to be Del Potro coming through, setting up. Oh, an epic encounter. I can't wait to tell you, Nima.
So now moving on to the fourth quarter, led by Andy Murray, who's got to be feeling good. I mean, yeah, he didn't win Cincy, but credit to him for playing you know, right after Rio, you know, winning that gold medal there. I mean, there's probably not a more informed player on tour right now than Andy Murray. And when you look at his draw, you know, Lucas Rosol obviously is going to come at him with some heat. But I just don't think he can outlast Murray from the baselines. No, not even close. He's going to get through Monaco or Granollers, no problem in round two. Gilles Simon, again, I don't think it's going to be any issues there. Really, it's a pretty good draw, I think. I mean, yeah, Dimitrov's playing a little bit better. But for him to make the fourth round would be, I think, a great result for him. Feliciano Lopez, if he's dialed in with his game on these courts, that serve and volley, that nasty lefty serve he has, he can also make the fourth round. Be a nice one between him and Dimitrov, potentially in the third round. But no question for me. I mean, I don't even have to think about it. I have, you know, Murray going all the way to the quarters without a doubt there. And then as we move a little bit up on this one, we have Nishikori starts off against Ben Becker. I think that's a very winnable match for him, no problem. And then, you know, going forward, I would say that Karlovic, you know, could win a couple matches here. But, I mean, how can you not? Even if it's Nishikori and Murray in the quarters, I'm going definitely with Murray to make the semifinals. How about yourself?
Yeah, my train of thought is exactly the same way. I think Nishikori is going to be in the quarter. I think he's the guy, and as well as Murray. You know, Murray's on a mission. He's trying to become Mr. Consistent, and I think you know, his long summer may hurt him a bit, but I think he's going to make the semis here.
Yeah, yeah. And then now let's move forward from there. So let's say it's Murray and Del Potro, right? I'm going Murray Wawrinka. So I'm going, if it's Murray Wawrinka, I'm going with Stan to beat Murray, actually, believe it or not. But if for you it's going to be Delpo and Murray, what do you think?
I think it's a rematch time, and I think it's going to be Del Potro coming through.
Wow!
I think we're going to have some serious stories. Although I'm all for Murray.
Yeah.
And it probably will end up Murray Djokovic in the final. But I think Del Potro is going to come in and finally do what he was put on this planet to do. I think this leprous has thrown off his destiny, and I think it's time for destiny to be fulfilled. And I don't know. I have a good feeling that Del Potro is going to thank the USTA by giving the wild card and make the final.
Wow. If Del Potro makes the US Open finals. So now you're taking, so obviously you got to look at the top draw here. You're going Monfils. I'm going with Monfils and Djokovic. Djokovic for me gets through that. Then it's going to, I have Djokovic Stan in the finals. And I'm going again with Stan to win. But you're going with Del Potro and Djokovic.
I'm going with Del Potro Djokovic only because Monfils and Nadal, I think, like I said, an epic again just encounter at the U.S. Open second week. I think it's going to be unbelievable, but it's going to drain Monfils. I think it's going to be a little bit of I have Nadal going through, right?
Yes.
I have Nadal beating Monfils actually, and Nadal Djokovic, and I think Nadal's going to be toast, and it's going to be like a 1-2 and 3 or something for Djokovic, and he's just going to sort of bow out, and then we've got this Djokovic Del Potro first round Olympic matchup, and I think Djokovic is just going to keep him out there and just make him just suffer until whatever it is, and I think it's going to be epic, but I don't think he's going to last more than 3 or 4 sets, and I think Djokovic is going to win this thing.
Yeah, that's a good call. For me, like I said, I'm probably going to be wrong. You know, I can confidently say that. But I say that I just feel that Stan has that special type of a game where when he's dialed in and he's playing his best tennis, he's very, very tough to beat, and he can give all of these guys major problems. I think for him, it's actually going to be tougher to beat Murray than it's going to beat Djokovic. That's my personal opinion. So we'll see how it goes, and that's, you know, that's why we're here. Now, Parso, we're getting into dark horse territory, right?
Oh boy.
This is where it gets fun. So I'll let you take it away first before I give you mine.
All right, my first dark horse.
And you can't take Del Potro.
Del Potro, he's a wild card.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
I think my number one dark horse that can actually win it. How about my dark horse that can't win it? And that's going to be Grigor Dimitrov. I think he's quite in form, and I think that he could do something. And I think he could make some noise.
Good call.
Yeah, my dark horse. I don't know if I have someone that can actually win it. That would be deep. You know, the men's game, because of the best of five, it's a tough thing to overcome that somebody could go all the way like that. Why do you put me in these positions? I think the one guy, I don't know if it's a dark horse, but my next level guys, how about this? I'll give you two guys who are my next tier guys.
Okay.
And it would be, believe it or not, even though he's won it before, it would be Chilich and Nishikori. I think both those guys are second level or even third level guys in the men's game.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think both of them have a legitimate shot. I wouldn't be completely shocked, but I would be 90% shocked if either one of those two won.
Yeah, I mean, for me, like, I'm going a little bit darker than guys who actually could maybe win. For me, a dark horse is, yeah, somebody who could go deep, but the reality is that dark horse will usually not win this tournament, right? So that's why I try to make it a little bit more fun in the sense that I'm picking guys who I think can, you know, do something but are not necessarily favored, you know, to win the tournament or even close to that. So it's tough. I mean, I'm going to go with just one guy. And I'm going to have to go, where was he? It was not him. It was not him. It's tough. I mean, I...
Shapovalov or whatever.
No, he's not. Yeah, he's playing some challengers, so he's not here, unfortunately. But it's, I don't know. I mean, it's, I really don't, to be honest with you, I don't have a real dark horse, but I'm going to have to go with, I mean, I don't know. I really don't. I would have to. Can't really take Verdasco because I don't think he can. He's not going to do much.
What about a guy like Donaldson? I mean,
No. I don't. I wouldn't say Donaldson. I would maybe go with Francis Tiafoe. Let's go with him. Let's see what he can do. If he can get by Isner, maybe he can get on a little bit of a run and do some damage. And I don't think that's a gimme for Isner too, because you made a great point in before we got on air that he's obviously major athlete, super, super talented guy, doesn't necessarily have the discipline yet that is required. But if he can, I mean, he's, you know, if he can get back Isner serve, then, you know, that's where some problems will come into play for the big man. And I think from that confidence standpoint, he can take that, and then, you know, that'll translate into a few more wins. So, again, we'll see how it unfolds. That's all we have, I guess, right? So I'm going with Stan. You're going with Joker. I'm going with, who did we have for the women's? I had Serena, right?
Yeah. Serena.
And then we both have Serena. So that's what it is. Okay, guys, so with that said, Parsa and I will be back next Sunday to review week one. Look forward to week two during the awesome Labor Day weekend. We're pumped. We're both going to be there at the Open. It's going to be great. You can follow us at Parsa Sammy as well as at Tennis Connected. I'll be putting up some cool stories on Tennis Connected's Instagram page, so make sure to check that out and follow us there, as well as on Twitter, Facebook, the website. We're going to have daily previews, orders of play, reviews. You can also follow this podcast and download it on iTunes. So a lot of great stuff going. Going to be going to the Nadal event at Nike Town, New York later today. So looking forward to that. Hopefully I'll squeeze in some US Open as well too. Go check out some practice sessions. And that's about it. Parsa, you got any closing words?
Not much. Just I'm looking forward to it unfolding, that's for sure.
No doubt about that, my friend. So looking forward to seeing Parsa as well tomorrow. So looking forward to that, buddy. And thank you out everybody out there for listening. Make sure to hit up Grand Slam Tennis Tours for all your ticket and traveling needs. They can hook you up from A to Z for the US Open. Even right now, if you call them, they can get you started. And then look forward to chatting with everybody in about 7 days' time. Be good and enjoy the last Grand Slam of 2016.